Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. Monica Sawyer is one of the most blissful people you will ever meet. She is the best-selling author of the award-winning book, Choose Bliss, and believes we can and should experience bliss in all areas of our lives, from our relationships, to our businesses, to our investing. Her expertise and joyous laugh, which is extremely joyous, I will first-handedly admit and declare that her laugh is amazing and just out of this universe. It's amazing. Her expertise and joyous laugh have been featured on stages, radio, podcasts, TV stations, including ABC, CBS, Fox, and the CW. And she is here for us today to teach us how to choose bliss. Monica, are you ready to rock this?
Oh my God, I am so ready, Chris. Let's do it.
Yes, we're doing it, baby. We're doing it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So your energy is awesome. Your laugh is infectious. And thank you so much for coming on today to share your wisdom and your expertise with us and our audience. Thank you.
I'm so honored to be here, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. So we're going to dive right in to the question and the theme of today, which is upgrade your questions. So Monica, how has this concept of really asking better quality questions, being curious about the deeper levels of life, being able to shift your perspective, you know, these questions, how has that shaped your reality and how you show up?
So I think that a lot of people out there, perception is everything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people out there perceive that we are at the mercy of what's going on, right? Mm. Like what's going on in politics? What's going on in my what's going on at work, right? So the question I like to ask is, how are you responding?
Mm.
And if you can ask that question, the other question I like people to ask is if they're really getting upset or they're feeling at the mercy, you know, and they're not at choice, is that true, right? That's Byron Katie. Yes. Is it true? Right? So those are my two questions, and it changes the whole paradigm of the world, because if you're at mercy of the world, you have no control. Mm. But if you say, I am at choice, I get to choose how I respond in any situation. And if I have a thought and I can ask, is that true? And give myself a true answer. Mm. Now I take control back. I get to live my life on my terms.
Going deep already. I love it. I love it. Great way to start the day, Monica. This is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for sharing your perspective on being able to shift perspectives, being able to take our power back, because that's what this is all about. Being the creator, right? Being the creator of our reality. Speaking of being the creator, you teach people how to be bliss, how to choose bliss. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that and how you're creating your reality these days?
You got it. So let's first start by, what is bliss? Mm. So what do you think of when you think of bliss, the word? Mm.
When I think of bliss, I feel, I think of ecstasy. I think of lying in a chair, being fed grapes in the Mediterranean, overlooking the sea on the cliffs of, you know, wherever, Croatia, I don't know, something like that, right?
Right. So for you, Chris, and for most people, that word evokes a circumstance, right? It's being fed grapes. It's seeing the Mediterranean, right? It's sitting in yoga and doing om. Yes. It's sex, right? It's like all these things, right? For me, I define bliss as completely yours.
Mm.
So it's a deep sense of joy and contentment and the absolute confidence that you can handle anything that comes your way.
Mm.
I define it as emotional mastery and emotional resilience. So as human beings, we have a huge range of emotions, right? We can go from ecstasy all the way to I want to die, right? We've got this whole huge range. And what I like to encourage people to do and what I help people to achieve is this, what I call a bliss equilibrium. It's home. And this home that we come back to, no matter where we've been on the emotional spectrum, this home is that deep sense of joy and contentment. And we can get there if we go low, we've got the tools to come back up high. And if we're high, we know we've got a foundation that we're never going to lose that joy. We always get to have it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So that's the definition of. So how am I choosing it? What am I encouraging in the world? Like I said, we don't have control over what's going on out there, right? Or what happens to us. But we do always have control over how we choose to respond. Mm-hmm. So over the years, I've been an executive coach for over 11 years. I had a very traumatic childhood. Horrible things happened that no woman should ever have to experience. Mm. And so I got to a very dark place. And literally that I want to die. I remember one morning, anyways, long story, and I don't want to like give the whole thing, but I had to make a choice. Am I going to, and many of us have been here, right? Do I want to continue to live? Mm. Or is it over? Like, is it just not worth it? Mm. And I remember in that moment choosing life, but not knowing how to live. And I was saved by a man named Ted. And what I mean is he became my coach and brought me back to the core of who I truly am. I am a joyous person. We're all joyous people. We were born at these little bundles of joy, right? Life is, oh my God, that experience, all the things we get to learn and experience and grow. And, you know, just as children, that's who we are. And then life teaches us what's not possible.
Mm.
Right? And we lose some of that, but that's who we are deep down inside. And so Ted showed me that again, and he put me back in my power. And then he hired me as a coach underneath him so I could take my skills that I had developed through my trauma, like all of the skills and strategies I had learned, as well as his. We came together and I became a good coach. Now, a really interesting thing happened. You attract the clients that are best for you, right? Do you believe that, Chris?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. So I was attracting these executives that were like multimillionaires, right? They had the beautiful homes in the Silicon Valley, the beautiful spouse, the adorable children, the cute little dog, right? The whole thing, the nice car. Mm-hmm. And their businesses weren't expanding. They felt stuck. And what we found was that most of them, the reason their lives weren't feeling good, the reason things weren't working was because they weren't happy. So even though they had all the things, right? We think money is going to make us happy. The perfect spouse is going to make us happy, right? The car is going to make us happy. But the reality is, even if you have all those things, unless you're committed to happiness inside of yourself and you've developed the tools to stay there, you're not going to be able to be happy. So all these guys were like miserable.
Yeah.
The truth was that they were about to lose their house. Their business was going way down. Their spouses were threatening to leave. They had no relationship with their children, right? Their lives were falling apart. And so I got to come in and teach them about bliss. And what are those strategies? What are those techniques? What are those things you can do in a moment to pick yourself back up? Mm. And suddenly their businesses took off. Their marriages came back together. Or if the marriage wasn't right for them, they were able to move on in a beautiful way, right? So life came back together. And it was like magic. Like, who gets to be out there talking about be happy? You know, I'm in the happiness industry. Like, who gets to say that, right?
Yeah.
And so I was inspired to write my book because I could only reach so many people one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wrote the book, I could reach a lot more people and really impact the world in a much bigger way. So I wrote the book, Choose Bliss. It's right here.
Awesome. Love it. I love the colors on that. Put that back up again. That just like feels so, oh man.
Does that feel blissful?
Wow. Wow. That is like, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see an amazing book cover design, that's like, yes, yes.
I'm glad you love that. Yeah. I do too. I feel blissful every time I look at it, yes. Which is the point, right? Yeah. Yeah. So where was I? I wrote the book. I'm able to get the impact out there now. Hmm. In a bigger way. And so that's, and it is the techniques, there are 12 techniques in there that have been the most, significantly and consistently successful with myself and with my clients. Mm. So you have access to bliss just by buying the book. Mm. So that's what that is all about. And that's kind of where I started. Now, when you look at bliss, to me, it's like the big picture, right? Mm-hmm. That's like the umbrella. That's what we all strive for. But the question that I would get most with people once I left executive coaching and I became a regular coach, the question that I would get most is, how are you able to be blissful if you're broke or if you're struggling with money? Right. And what is true from my perspective is bliss is possible in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. I know broke people that are very happy. I know rich people that are very sad, yep. Right? Yep. Excuse me, I've got allergies. So excuse the cough. So it is possible. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. Focusing on being happy is a lot easier if you're not in pain. If you're not in emotional pain, if you're not in physical, if you're not in mental pain, and if you're not in financial pain.
Yeah.
Right? If you have those things handled, and especially the financial piece, then you can focus more on what are my passions? What will really make me happy? Taking the time to apply those bliss strategies. Mm-hmm. So I started to move into teaching people how to do wealth. Now, intuitively, I took care of this when I was very, very young. I did it through real estate. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, okay, I want to teach people how to be wealthy. Well, why not do it the way that I've done it, mm-hmm. which is through real estate? And so that's kind of how the transition went into blissful wealth.
Yeah.
So, and there's a whole new story around that too, if you want to hear it at some point, but I feel like I've talked a lot.
I love it. You're just like sharing gold and it's juicy, yeah. Painting a picture. And this is awesome. So everyone who's listening to this or watching this, Definitely give Monica some love. Send her a comment saying, you're awesome. Your journey is awesome. I love bliss. Type it in the comments. Let us know, because this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. So Monica, tell us more about what it takes to step into that bliss. How do we start creating that more for ourselves? And then we can dive into more of the real estate and stuff too, and the fundamental principles of that, if they're different from, you know, just the core bliss philosophy. But just like take us to that blissful place of how do we create that?
How do you create that?
Yeah.
So there are some things that I like to have people really start focusing on immediately. Mm-hmm. First of all, every single time you get, well, actually there's two things I want to go right into. Mm-hmm. When you get into a stressful place, right? Mm-hmm. Get back into your heart-centered place. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things I like people to do. The very first thing is, you know, you want to just interrupt what you're thinking and ask yourself, is this true? Is this reaction that I'm having appropriate? Is it true? And a lot of times your brain is going to say, yes, it is. I have a right to be pissed off, right? That person just cut me off in traffic, or who do they, you know what I mean? So then we move into a technique I called stop, drop, and breathe. Do you want to hear about it?
I would love to. Yes.
Okay. So you've stopped, right? You're going to do a pattern interrupt. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you're thinking that's stressing you out, mm-hmm. you're going to drop into your body, right? Shake it out a little bit, drop into your heart, take a couple of real deep breaths, and then come to this place, come to whatever situation you're in from this place of being relaxed, from a place of rationality, and from being heart-centered. So this works in every situation. You can use it 10 times a day, right? Mm-hmm. In traffic, when you're having a conversation with the kids, when you have a conversation with your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, in real estate, when something comes up and you're trying to make a challenging decision in work, when you're trying to make a decision about something you're working in, right? You can use that in any situation to get you centered and grounded and making rational decisions. And the honest truth is that for bliss, we're talking about emotional mastery, right? Mm-hmm. We have a right to our emotions, and the experience of life is all about that emotion. But if you've got emotions that are distracting from that bliss, you need to get back into your heart. And so that's why I say, stop, drop, and breathe. Use it all the time.
I love it. I love it. That's so awesome because, you know, what I hear is getting present. So many people are on this hamster wheel of life, like you said, you know, with the kids or the deal or something doesn't go the way we want it. There's a car in front of us, the traffic. It's like just allow the external, the environment to be how it's going to be. And then drop back into the self. I know just me, like I put my hand over my heart. I take a deep breath in. And just like, and let go. Because there's this like, you can feel it. You can feel the stored tension and the desire, the need, the pull or the push to be somewhere, to do something, to get something done with our society, the pace of our society. And what really allows us to create from a resourceful place and peace and step into that bliss is like stopping that momentum, stopping the stress, the anxiety, the overwhelm, letting it go by breathing, dropping into that heart and just be.
Be your very best self. Yes. Because your very best self really does know the answers, wouldn't you say?
Yes, 100%, 100%. And it's like that resourcefulness. So many people are so stressed out about not having enough. Right? Like the poverty mindset, I don't have enough. And I believe that a lot of that comes from this constant need to be somewhere, right? Oh, I'm not there yet. I don't have the car yet. I don't have the house. I don't have the man or woman of my dreams. I'm not there yet. So it's like it stops that pull or that kind of automatic rat race mentality and stops it and says, I am enough. This moment is enough. This moment is everything. Just allow, just experience, just step into that bliss, create that.
Right. And you know, I've actually had people say, Monica, I don't want to be blissful, which like is like, really?
Wow.
And they're, yeah. And they're like, because I've got so much to do. I feel like I lose my drive.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, Ashley, there are studies that show that people that are happy and content are significantly higher achievers than their not blissful counterparts.
Wow.
The thing is this, that if you allow the moment to be, it doesn't mean that you can't aspire to more. Mm. It simply means that you are taking advantage of the resources that are here right now. Mm. And if you can do that, every moment becomes a step forward to more joy, more success, more bliss. So you don't become less motivated. Mm. You don't become less of a dreamer. As a matter of fact, you become more of a dreamer. More becomes possible because you're not looking through these eyes of I can't. Mm. You're looking through the eyes of possibility because life feels so good.
Yeah,
you know.
I think what also gets in people's way is fear. So I'm curious, Monica, how do you handle fear and the desire to step into bliss, or when fear is more powerful than the desire to step into bliss? How do you handle that?
Yeah. Fear is very, very natural for us, right? We talk about there's two emotions, fear and love. I call it fear and bliss, right?
Yeah.
So fear happens to me all the time, every day. It happens to everybody, right? But again, we talked about like this spectrum, right? You've got a bliss equilibrium. So for me, when I step into fear and I ask myself, is this fear rational or not rational? Because fear keeps us alive, right? So a lot of fear that's actually good. But is it rational or not rational fear? And if it's not rational fear, if it's just me not wanting to get out of my comfort zone, I just take the step and trust. And that's a really hard thing to do when you don't have years of experience doing it and knowing that it works out. But you have to do it the first time.
Yeah.
And you gotta keep doing it. And eventually you are able to step through it because you know what's on the other side.
Right? Yeah. And what I hear is when you were first starting, you relied on Ted to help you and step into that fear. So for everyone who's loving Monica right now, definitely contact her. If you want help stepping into your fear, if you've been stuck or stopped and, you know, delaying, procrastinating, whatever it might be, she's here to help you and support you. And you're going to find even more gold throughout this interview. And I'm personally, you know, I'm a coach too, a business coach. So I love the ability to help people break through their BS, because on our own, it's really difficult. It's really difficult to step out of our stuff, our ego, our perspective, our blind spots, and be able to get through that. But with a coach, an exceptional coach like Monica, you can do that. You can transcend that. So tell us a little bit more about how, when people work with you, like, what are the specific things that you look for to help them break through, to help them step into their power, into that bliss?
Yeah. So the very first thing we look at is their core bliss. Mm. And really what that is their core values. Okay. I think a lot of people are out there building a life, building marriages, building businesses, based on beliefs that were handed to them or expected of them. And when consistently in 11 years of coaching, I would ask my executives, what are your core values? And they would first look at me like, what does this have to do with anything? The next thing is their eyes would glaze over because they hadn't really thought about it. And then would give me something like, well, of course, it's my family, it's God, it's my children, it's, you know, my business is like number 100, right? So, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Yep. What do we think looks good, right? And they don't know what really makes them tick. Now, the thing is that if you are ever going against your core values, your deepest self is going to pull at you. You're going to feel discontent. You're going to get angry. You're going to feel abused by yourself, you know, and you're not going to be able to get to bliss. There's going to be a lot more fear because you're not making decisions that you can agree with. So the very first thing I do with people is help them to discover what those core values are and then give them the tools to align with those so that they can start to make decisions based on those core values. And that's really hard because the thing is you start having to say no to people. You have to start doing things differently. So baby steps, right? You take a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, but eventually you can fully align and you can make every decision based on those core values. And when you're doing that, it doesn't mean that you're not going to experience fear. It doesn't mean that you're not going to experience angst, right? Because living creates those things. However, if you're true to yourself, you can stand fully in your power and stick with your decisions. And it's a lot easier to step by fear because you're being really, really honest with what's going on with yourself in your life.
Yeah. And that self-awareness, having the awareness of what are those values, what drives your life, creates clarity, creates power, creates ease. It might not, simplicity. It might not be easy, right? Yeah. It might not be easy to say no to people. There might be, you know, three offers on the table, and it might not be easy to say no to these other offers. But if you know what your core values are, and you see that one offer in particular is in alignment with that, or know what your core values are, and know this dream man or woman who just came into your life, and then you find yourself being attracted to someone else, like, think about that. It's simple to say, wait a second, I'm just being tempted. I'm just being, you know, there's just sexual tension or something like that over here. I'm going to stay in my bliss with this core value and not let my ego run the show and choose bliss in what I have already, not this constant need for more, more, more.
Right. Absolutely. And in those relationships, one of the things that helps to make relationships really work, and this is also true, like when you're picking tenants, you know, in your business, right? For me, it's real estate. So that's why I'm giving those examples. But in your business, too, is if you're able to align and do business with people that have similar values, they may not be in the exact same order, but at least they have similar enough order values that when you're having a conversation, you get each other, it's going to make that path so much smoother, so much easier. And when you have conflict, it's so much easier to get through the conflict because you're coming from a similar place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and if one of those values is making relationships work, well, that's really helpful too, right?
Yes. I love it. I love it. So can you take us to a time in your past where you were challenged by these values? Maybe you didn't know what your values were at the time and you had to learn a challenging lesson or got tested on those values. Take us to one of those moments where it was a little bit more difficult for you with regards to your core values.
Yeah. So just for perspective, let me tell you what my core values are. Okay. So for me, the very first one is relationships. And that includes, you know, there's levels of that too. So my intimate relationship with my husband, my family and my friends, sort of in that order. And then there's personal development, adventure, joy, of course, yes. And my health. So those are my top ones. Okay.
Love it.
So, and making an impact. So my business is really about making an impact. So about 3 years ago, when I was starting this business, I had just released my book, but it was 2 years ago. And I was really working so hard. I think some of you can relate to this, right? I was working so hard. I was working 14 hours a day. I was so full of passion and desire to make this impact. And I got this opportunity to speak at an event that I really was honored to even be invited to this place. And it was my first speaking engagement. And I felt that the producer of the event would really support me in the fact that I was brand new at this. Like, I thought I was going to do a great job. But, you know, in those first few times when you're on stage, you need a level of support, right?
Yes.
So I was so excited about this. We set the date. I was really excited. We've got everything organized. I was in the program. And literally the day that I signed the contract in the morning. And that day, I got an invitation from one of my cousins to her wedding for the same day I was speaking.
Oh,
so now, just to get to know who I am, I'm the oldest of like 20 cousins.
Wow.
And I am the family big sister. So I've got all these siblings, right? And so for me, they are some of the most important people in my world. And I never miss a wedding. I never miss a wedding. In India, in the Indian culture, you don't miss weddings and funerals. Mm-hmm. And for me, I try to be at all the funerals, but fortunately there haven't been that many, but we'll see how that goes. But with the weddings, I just never miss a wedding, right?
Yeah.
So here I am with this dream and this ambition and this need to make an impact and having to make this choice to say no to my cousin, which I just can't do.
Wow.
So I slept on it and I didn't talk to anybody about this. This is key. You know, when you're in a place where you're really making a value judgment, don't talk to people about it unless they are fully aligned with your values. Like they've got the same ones and they can feel your heart. My husband is very close, but he would have made a different choice.
Right.
So, I couldn't say no to the wedding because I would have felt horrible. And I couldn't say no to the speaking engagement because it was the start of me in this world, right? So what did I do? So what I did is I called the producer of the event. He does this event every 6 months. And I told him the situation and I said, you know, one of the things that I teach is that you have to be really aligned with your values. I have to walk the talk. Like I can't stand up on your stage and talk about this and have not done it myself. And so I had that conversation with him and asked him if he could postpone me to the next event. Well, he really wanted me on his stage at that event. Mm-hmm. So this is what we did. He wanted me there for 3 days for the entire event.
Wow.
And so we negotiated that. I basically said, I need to be in Michigan on Saturday and preferably Friday night. We have this big thing that we do as Indians on the night before. And I can fly back on Sunday morning. So he put me on the stage on Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
So I was able to, and I felt really good about all of it. Now, it's true. If I had been there at the event for 3 days, I would have gotten more leads. I would have gotten, you know, my business would have done better.
Totally.
But, you know, I wanted to be in integrity and I keep my commitments. So he really wanted to be there. I needed to keep my commitment to him. I also needed to be integrity with my values. Mm. That's what I did. And it worked out beautifully. The clients that I did get were fully aligned with me. Mm-hmm. I could talk right there, right then, about the decision I had made about that particular event. Wow. So it was very real,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and it worked out beautifully.
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing. So I love this. And for everyone who just heard this journey, this story and life event of Monica, think to yourself when challenges come, when you're faced with adversity, when you're faced with choices, do you come from a place of resourcefulness or do you play the victim? Do you hide? Do you try to get away with something? Do you try to like manipulate a situation to make it fit without just confronting the uncomfortable and saying, hey, listen, organizer, listen, people that are involved in this. I'm conflicted. I want to show up. I want to be my best self for you. And I also want to be my best self over here. And this is important to me. And this is my priority. How can we work something out? How can we create a solution? How can we create a win-win? And, you know, I think that's what's really important is, Monica, you were willing to let go of the event because you knew there would be more events and you knew that this wedding would only happen once, you know, like, and you were willing to push it off or, you know, like if that's what it took, you would let it go because this was so important to you. And I believe it's those business partners who understand that. And they're like, okay, I see that you're doing your best to make everything work. We'll be flexible. Those are the people that are in alignment with you. If you find someone who just cuts you off and doesn't even give you a chance and, you know, takes it in the wrong way or takes it as rude, like, oh, how ungrateful you are. I gave you this stage and then you just leave, up and leave, right? Those are the people who aren't in alignment with us. If we're living compassionate, if we're living bliss, if we're living generous, and that's what those are the values we want in the world. If you run across someone who's not like that, then it wasn't meant to be anyways. So I love that you stuck to your guns, you stuck to your values, and it all worked out perfectly in the end. And even better, you get to stand on stage and declare, I just lived my values over the last 3 days or 2 days. Like, here's how. And that's just such a place of power to stand in. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, and it felt so good.
Yeah.
And you know what, Chris, it's not always that way.
Mm.
You know, my mom had a heart attack and I had to go to the hospital. So we had another situation. And that particular producer was so angry and she had a year to plan. It's wow. Not like this was tomorrow. She had a year to plan. Actually, that's not really true. I think it was 6 months. But anyway, she had time.
Right.
I even was going to help her find somebody.
Right.
But you know, she was basically like, I don't need this. You need to be able to keep your commitments. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm in integrity. I understand your values are like this.
Right.
But we're just not going to work together. There are a lot of people out there that are willing to honor and respect who you are.
Yeah.
And there are people that are just kind of all about themselves, and that's okay. Mm. You know, it's totally okay.
Wow. So powerful.
That sounded a little judgmental, all about themselves. Their values are just different. Forgive me. We're all about ourselves,
yes,
right?
Yes, totally.
I didn't mean to make that sound that way. But, you know, we're all about ourselves. And what does that mean? We're all about what we stand for.
Yeah. I love it. Right. I love it. So this is great. We're really diving into our identity, our core values, our character. And that's such a great foundation to start from when it comes to building wealth, when it comes to investing, when it comes to building a business, because it's said that starting your own business is one of the most deepest, challenging courses in personal development that you can ever go through.
Oh my God. Yes, it is.
All your stuff comes up. So it's great to know who you are and what you stand for, because in the face of adversity and confrontation and difficult situations where you have to choose, who am I going to be? How am I going to show up in the situation? Having that knowledge you wrote down on a piece of paper, having that, you know, sticky note on your wall that says, these are my core values, having that ready, imprinted in your mind when the time comes, just allows it to be autopilot, just allows it to be like, oh, you know what? That's right. I wrote that down. I've been living those core values for the last 5 years. Of course I'm going to make this decision. Of course I'm going to live this out. So I love that we're starting there. And let's start moving into the wealth building, the investing. in the real estate specifically, and how you've been focusing on that recently, how you've been teaching that, and anything else you feel our audience should know about that today.
Okay. Can I tell you my story about real estate?
Let's go, Monica. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay. Awesome. So I just love this story because it's so sweet. So my parents in 1967 mm-hmm. came to America as newlyweds with this dream of building a better life, right? Mm-hmm. And they had $200 in their pocket.
Wow.
$200. And my dad had heard in India that the way to wealth in the United States was to buy real estate. Mm-hmm. So they would save all their money, right? And they finally bought a home. Mom was pregnant with me. They finally bought a home. And then I was born. And sort of with this feeling of joy and love and dreams, they decided they were going to start investing in properties. Huh. So they needed to save all of their nickels and dimes, right? They didn't have a lot of money. So they were saving all of their nickels and dimes. And so like mom would take all of her beautiful Indian fabrics and sew the curtains for the walls and the mm-hmm. cushions for her sofa so she could have a beautiful home. Mm-hmm. But she was saving all of her money. And so by the time I was three, they bought their very first rental property.
Wow.
Fast forward 15 years. Mm-hmm. They've stayed really focused. They've bought a lot of property. Dad's dealt with everything around that happens. And in 15 years, they're able to pay for the college education of that first tiny little girl.
Awesome.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
And just the joy in being able to do that and provide that for me. Right? They were able to do the same thing for their other two daughters. They paid for all of our weddings. And now, fast forward 40 years, they're retired. They live in a 5,000 square foot home. All of us girls can come home and have our own room. I mean, it rocks. Wow. And most importantly, they're able to live the lifestyle they want in retirement rather than a lifestyle that's dictated by Social Security, pension programs. You know, they can do whatever they want after all of those years of hard work, right? So you can imagine, I was actually, once I got out of college, I was interested in building wealth through real estate, right? But the thing is this, I had really seen Dad struggle. Mm. My dad is a really hard worker. He had sort of that Indian work ethic, right? You come, the immigrant work ethic, right? Is you come and you work really, really hard and you pay your dues and you get your reward. So he paid his dues, man. He worked hard and he was under a lot of stress. And I saw that, right? The stress and the money and the tenants and the toilets and the, you know, the things that we hear, right?
Yeah.
And oh my God, I did not want that life. You know, I was 2.0, right? All of the kids of immigrants, right? We're like, I don't want that. So, so I had the values, but I didn't want that level of stress. Mm. It didn't mean that I'm not a hard worker. I am, but I didn't want that level of stress. Totally. And you can tell my whole life, Ernie, has been about bliss, right? Mm. And so what I wanted to do was figure out a way to bring bliss into real estate, but I didn't think it was possible. And I remember one night, I was really scared. I was trying to figure this out. And my dad sat me down across the kitchen table and he said to me, Monica, everybody has money issues. Do you want poor people money issues? Or do you want rich people money issues?
Heck yeah.
Doesn't my dad rock?
Yeah.
Well, of course I wanted rich people money issues. And so my journey began. Hmm. So, and then I have created my own systems. I took dad's system. I upgraded it to a Monica system. And now I've married bliss and real estate so that I can honestly say that my systems, my real estate, my wealth, really supports the joy in my life rather than sucking the life out of me, which is what most landlords experience, right? So that's kind of how I came to that. I started with a $10,000 wedding gift and I'm worth well over $5 million now. And that's all happened, most of it through real estate.
Wow, that's incredible. So tell us about the principles that you really used as you grew the real estate business. investment and empire.
Yeah. So the first one, let's go right back to it. What's my core values? Right? Yeah. What are my core values? And I go through this all in my workshop and my mastermind. These are the things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. Are you aligning with your core values? How are you building your business? How are you making your decisions? So there's the first one. The next one is, what are your resources? I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about emotional energy, people. What are your resources? Mm-hmm. Right? Get really clear on that. The biggest one is going to be time. Right? Especially when you're talking about blip, because you don't want to spend a whole, maybe you do, but I didn't want to spend a huge amount of time doing this, right? I do now because I love it.
Right.
But back then I didn't, right? I had all this ambition to do other things. Yeah. So for me, it was time. And then you set your goals based on those two things. So you've got your values and your resources. Now you set your goals based on that. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there and you decide on a strategy that's going to fill those goals. Mm-hmm. So don't get really excited by the shiny object, right? How many of us have seen TV shows about flip that house, fix and flip, right? Let's be a wholesaler, right? Those are full-time jobs.
Yes.
And if that's what you're about, if that's what your goals are, if that's what your resources allow, if that aligns with your values, you do it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But that's not what I do. And that, what I'm going to do is help guide people to find what is that place for them that's really going to make them happy rather than cause them a huge amount of stress and eventually just be another job.
Yeah. So right? What kind of different options are available for people depending on their different values?
Right. So there, you mean with real estate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, there are a million ways to make real estate.
Well, what about, like, would it be more advantageous to talk about if someone's core values are this, then you probably want something like that. If your core value is this, then something like that. Can you give us some examples?
Yeah. So if you're really money driven and you, and that is not a bad thing. So let's actually go back to that really quickly. Being money driven is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
What you really want to get in touch with is, what is that money for you? Is it security and safety, which it is for me? Mm-hmm. Is it about the ability to make an impact in the world? It is for me, right? So what is money really about for me? It allows me to create in the world and be my most passionate self and really get my message out there, right? I've got a podcast that takes time, money, and energy. If I didn't have my stable income, I couldn't focus so much on that with all my passion, right? I do a lot of work for a school in India for the poor to support women in those communities grow up in an equal environment, right? I couldn't do that if I didn't have the money handled, right? So these are the sorts of things, like, what does money really mean to you? Now, if money means I need money right now to pay the bills, then you need to take a look. Are you willing to work 80 hours a week? You've got your full-time job and you're going to add 20 to 40 hours to flip, wholesale, or, you know, whatever those options are. And those are options, right? Now, if you're looking more for passive cash flow, we're going to look more at like apartments and multi-units. Okay. Or you could be a hard lender. You could fraction. So you could go to another hard lender and buy a piece and you get 10%, you know, like that. Or you could do what I do, which is buy and hold. And I do buy and hold a little bit differently than other people also. I don't do any property management. I let my tenant management. And so I train them how to do that. There's a whole curriculum that I put my people through, right? That's a Monica thing, right? Not everybody does it. But for me, I'm about appreciation. My husband makes the money for our lifestyle. I get to pay for our play and our future, right? So the cash flow that I do make pays for our vacations, and then I'm paying for our retirement through our appreciation, right? That's what my goals are. So I don't want to spend a lot of time with that. I spend 5 to 10 hours a month. That's it. And I've built a multi-million-dollar empire. So there's a lot of different places that you can enter that you can do based on your values and your goals and your needs.
I'm curious, what do you do with all the other time that you have right now?
I do a podcast, I talk on stages, I write books, I fly to India, you know, my husband and I have traveled to 55 countries together just for the fun of it, you know, so I dance every day.
Wow.
Oh, I'm a dancer. So yeah, that's what I do.
I love it. I love it. So everyone who's listening, you can have this lifestyle too if you simply create it. If that's your values, you know, what depends on what your values are. Maybe your value is the growth and the driving and the building. Maybe that's your thing. You just love being in that work zone, or love being at a place like a corporation. You're the leader, you're the boss, and you're just like running stuff every day, right? Maybe that's you. Or maybe you want to travel the world with your lover or solo, or see different things, adventure. You want to experience, you want to grow, you want to learn. You get options when you have this wealth, when you prioritize your core values. You get options on how do I want to fulfill that? How do I want to play in that? How do I want to live my bliss and be able to create that? And it's so amazing, Monica, that you're living this and then you're teaching it so that other people can have it too. It's just so beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So we're beginning to wrap up here, and we want to know, is there any last minute things you want us to know? Any final ideas or paradigm shifts that we should have that our audience would benefit from if the only they knew these one or two things, you know? Is there anything else like that we can give them?
Yeah. Lean in. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So always remember, bliss is your birthright. Choose to live it every single day.
Yeah. Wow. I'm writing that down. Birthright. Choose to live it every single day. Wow. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. You deserve this. It's your birthright. You're born as pure joy, a bundle of joy, as Monica said earlier. I love that. You know, it's like the bundle of joy. Where does that phrase come from? I don't know, but it's true. These little babies are bundles of freaking joy, right?
So
it's awesome. I love that. And it's your birthright, and you deserve it. So step up, ask for it, desire it, command it, request it, seek the help. Be resourceful, be relentless, be tenacious in achieving and experiencing that bliss.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Awesome. So, Monica, why don't you share a little bit more about how people can stay connected with you? What do you want them to do next? If you have anywhere where they can connect further with you, get more access to you, why don't you share that with them as well?
Absolutely. Okay. So, first of all, I have a report that is like completely everything I have done with that $10,000 to now to build my wealth. It's my full strategy. So people can go get that. It's my gift to them, at blissfulinvestor.com. So that's blissfulinvestor.com. The next thing is they can go to Amazon and get my book, Choose Bliss. So that's all the strategies that they can start to implement right now.
Love it.
To start living a life that's much more blissful. You can go to my podcast, which is Real Estate Investing for Women.
And that just launched recently, right?
It did.
Yes.
I've got, as of this morning, so it launched 4 weeks ago, as of this morning, 9,000 downloads.
Wow. Holy moly.
I am so excited. Oh my God. It's so cool. So we talk about strategies, but we also talk about mindset, heart set, money smarts, all of those things that will help you to be successful. So that's that. And then, of course, you can find me on Facebook. Look up Monica Sawyer, which is M-O-N-E-E-K-A. Unica Monica Sawyer. And same on Twitter and same on LinkedIn.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Monica, you are freaking amazing. And I love your energy. We love your laugh. We love how you show up in bliss, sharing that bliss so that we can all experience it together. Thank you so much for what you're doing, creating, playing in this life, and sharing all along the journey. And I'm sure this is just the beginning for you and the impact and the ripples of transformation and light that you're spreading in the world. So I really acknowledge you for stepping up to the plate and playing. All right, you're just totally playing and living your bliss, and we appreciate you for coming on today and sharing all of this with our audience. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. And ditto, you're doing such amazing work giving all of us a platform and a stage to help get the message out there. So thank you for that.
Thank you. thank you. This is just the beginning, and we will definitely continue to become our greatest possible selves together. Monica, have the best day ever, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Sounds great. Me too.
Awesome. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.EmployeeEscapePlan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website, beyourgps.com, and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.